sitting in the living room in his reclining chair watching his favorite sports team on the telly. Wife is over at cardboard table putting this puzzle together when everything was interrupted when their five-year-old little Timmy runs into the room, jumps up on his dad's lap and says, "Dad, I got a request." To which at that moment, Timmy's dad looks over at his wife and now she stops putting the puzzle together because she's kind of leaning in. She can't wait to hear what little Timmy's going to say to his dad. And he goes, "Dad, I would like to have a little brother." And with his request, Timmy offered, "I'll do whatever I can to help." Well, the father, sitting there dumbfounded by the question, although quick on his feet, was able to kind of give a glance at his wife, who's like, and he winks at her and he goes, "Well, I tell you what, Timmy, if you promise that you'll pray every day for the next 2 months, I guarantee you God will give you a little brother." Well, obviously, Timmy didn't know, but there was already some dough in the oven, you know what I'm saying? And so they kind of had this little chuckle as a mom and dad. Timmy's like, "Are you serious, Dad? That's awesome." And he gets down, he goes and plays, and they notice that when it's time to go to bed, for Timmy to go to bed, they walked in, he was already in bed. Little did they know, though, Timmy had went to bed early that night, but before he did, he fell to his knees and he began to pray fervently for this little baby brother. And this went on and on, day after day, without fault for an entire month. And then some, but after a while, Timmy began to get skeptical a little bit. So he did some of his own research, started walking around the neighborhood. And it came to the conclusion that what he thought might happen within 2 months had never happened in the history of his neighborhood. And so he quit praying. Well, came to the end of the 2 months, and mom went to the hospital. And then a couple days, mom came home, and mom and dad called little Timmy into their bedroom. Timmy entered the door and said, "Well, come in here, buddy." He came in, he pulled himself up on the edge of the bed, and he noticed that there was this little bundle in this baby blanket. His dad says, "Come here." His curiosity is like killing him. So Timmy crawled a little closer, and dad pulls back the blanket, and lo and behold, there was not one little baby brother, but two little baby brothers. And his dad looks at his boy, and Timmy's eyes are really big, and dad goes, "Now, son, aren't you glad that you prayed faithfully to God?" And Timmy looked at the one, he looked at two, and he goes, "Yeah, Dad, but aren't you glad I quit?" If someone asked you what motivates you to pray, what would you say? What drives you to your knees? Makes you want to pray more? What makes your prayers to be prayed with fervency, to be prayed with frequency, like day after day after day without fail? What is it that makes you pray? I'm convinced that one of the greatest motivators for prayer and increased prayer is answered prayer. Matter of fact, we're in this series. We're living in a time where everybody from the left to the right, and literally from the left and the right, are making us promises. And yet all of us are skeptical whether anybody's going to fulfill these promises. And so today I want us to turn our attention again to the promises that you can count on. Promises that are in the Word of God. Promises from God Himself that you can take to the bank. They're good. They're going to happen. And one of those promises that we're looking at today is the promise of answered prayer. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to join me in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And the writer of 1 John records this in Scripture. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." I don't know about you, but that's quite some promise right there. That when you pray to God, He tells us you can have confidence in approaching Him. That word confidence is an interesting word in the original language of which it was written in the Greek. It's a word called parousia. It simply means this. It means to pour forth. Or to a little bit more explanation, it means to have unreserved in your speech. It means to be open and frank. Here's what he's telling us. This is the confidence. This is the pouring forth, the unreserved speech, the openness and frankness that you can have when you approach God. You can come before God and you can say everything that's on your heart. Matter of fact, we find that the Hebrew writer talks about this as well. Hebrews chapter 4 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. He's kind of setting us up. Here's why we can do this. And then he goes on, he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace. Notice what it says. Help me out. What's it say? With confidence. There it is. Pouring forth unrestrained speech, open and frankness before God. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. We can approach, he says, John in 1 John, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we can ask anything according to his will, and he hears us. And if we know, there's a key word. We can approach with confidence with God, and we can know. He doesn't say we can feel. Well, feelings come and go, do they not? But wouldn't you like to have some truth, some knowledge, that you know, I know this. I know this to be true. It's not that I feel like it is. I know this to be true. This is what John says. We can approach with confidence and know. Know what? Here's what he tells us. You can know that he hears you. You can know that when you come to God, he hears you. He's listening. He's paying attention. You can have confidence, just like Timmy did of his father in that reclining chair, even though he's watching his sports game. He had an ear towards his son, and that's what God wants you and I to know. For as his sons and his daughters, he is attentively listening, and he gives us this promise that you can not only feel like he does, we know that he does. We can come forth with unrestrained speech. We can pour forth what's on our heart, and he hears us when we pray. We know not only that he hears us, but here's what else we know. We know that you have what you ask of him. Think about that for a second. You can know that you have what you ask of him. That is quite the promissory statement, is it not? And it would seem this promissory text of Scripture is pretty straightforward. I mean, it's guaranteeing that we'll receive whatever we ask to receive. But we got to read this promise. Watch this now. We got to read this promise in the complete context of Scripture, if we're to gain the correct understanding of this promise from God. Because there's a little qualifier in there that you can't miss. You can't just read over it. And the qualifier that John mentions is this little two-word if. If, notice what he says, you ask anything according to his will. There it is. According to his will. Jesus talks a lot about this. We see it in John chapter 15. If Jesus says, you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Now think about that for a second. How could Jesus say that to us so confidently? If you remain in Jesus and Jesus and his word remains in us and you, ask whatever you want, he'll give it to you. I think what he's teaching us is this. You better know the Word of God. And anytime you pray with the Word of God in mind, you're always praying God's will. And so he's going to give you what you're praying for. The psalmist says it like this in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But notice what comes first. You've got to delight yourself in the Lord. Can't delight yourself in your own pleasures. You delight yourself in the Lord. And then what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's kind of the same thing like Jesus. Some guy like Jesus said that, like, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you as well. There is a progression. There is a natural order to this spiritually. In Luke, Jesus is speaking. Remember before he went to the cross, he's in the garden. And he's praying out loud to his Heavenly Father, Father, if, there it is, if you are willing, you may not be, but if you are, will you take this cup from me? Is there any other way to do, bring salvation to these people other than me dying on a cross? In essence, what he's saying, yet not my will, Jesus says, but yours be done. If it's according to your will, then God, I'll do it. I trust you. See, God gives us the promise of answered prayer when, though, we pray according to his will. We must pray with a true heart for the things of God. We must pray with God's perspective in mind. And so the question is, well, how do you do that? How do you pray with God's perspective in mind? Well, number one, you got to know God's word. That's how you pray God's perspective right there. And number two, he gives us his Holy Spirit within us to help us know how to pray. See, when we pray God's will, it's always the perfect prayer. And you can be assured of this, my friend. God always acts out of love towards you. Many times, if we're honest, and sometimes even our prayers are sometimes prayed out of selfishness. But God, in his answer, is always out of love for you, always out of love for me. God always knows what's best for us. I don't know if you've ever, if you've lived long enough, you know this, and if you've been a Christ follower long enough and you're a prayer Christ following person, you understand this. Often what I thought was best for Jeff was not what his best for Jeff was. And I've had to learn over the years, learn to trust that his best is what I really want to shoot for, not my best. He always has his best for me, and he always loves me. And then the last thing that I want to say about this is that God always sees the big picture. He always sees the end result. My view often is quite limited. Often it's filled with emotion and feelings. But the Bible tells us that God knows the beginning from the end. He sees it all in one moment. I like how E. Stanley Jones said it when he talks about prayer. See if you can relate to this. We live around the lake areas, right? If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and I catch hold of the shore and I pull, here's the question. Do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Think about your prayers. When you try to put your boat hook into God, is it so that you can pull God to where you want him to work in your life, that you can pull him to do what you want him to do for you because this is what you want, this is what you think is best? This is your heart's desire? Or when you throw and you pray to God and you latch into him, are you hoping, God, I know what I want, but pull me toward you? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but rather it's aligning my will to the will of God. And so when we pray, when we ask anything, it needs to be according to his will. And when we do that, John tells us that God promises to hear us. God promises that what we ask for, we shall have. But then the question always comes, well, has there ever been a time, though, when you prayed and you felt like he didn't hear? Or he didn't answer? Or was just totally uninterested? Have you ever thought about why one's prayers might go unanswered? I think the human tendency is when our prayers go unanswered, or at least not answered in the way in which we prayed or we had hoped, isn't it always interesting that something must be wrong with God? Like, what's up, God? God, why would you do that? I've come all this way, God. Or God, this, why is this happening? And it's always like falls on God. But can we just be truthful for a second? It's much easier to blame God than sometimes to look within. It's a lot easier to accuse God when perhaps, maybe, I'm the problem. Could it be that I'm the obstacle, that I have become the hindrance to my own prayers? Or could it be that I prayed for the will of God and then he gave me his will, but I didn't like the fact that his will now has become my reality and I've decided now I don't really like it? I don't know if you know this, but sometimes you might pray for God's will, but understand sometimes his will also includes pain and suffering. Did you know that sometimes his will includes the words incurable, untreatable diagnosis? Sometimes God's will includes a delayed response. Sometimes God's will includes a closed door, and yet we keep trying to pry it open and open. God says, no, it's going to stay closed. And so when we pray, we must truly evaluate our heart. We've got to ask ourselves this question: do I really trust him? Do I really believe he loves me? Do I really believe he has my best? Do I really believe he knows the beginning to the end, and he sees it all? What have you concluded? Well, it's a great question. Why might one's prayers go unanswered? And it's right there. I mean, there's a few reasons. Number one, because people don't ask God. I know that sounds like, well, duh. But think about it for a second. Some of you just don't pray. Prayerlessness. You say you're going to pray about something, you know you ought to pray about something, but you just never get around to praying about it. I mean, prayer must be intentional. It must be purposeful. Some of you right now have a need in your life. You're going through a situation. You have an issue, a particular circumstance. I wonder if you could look me in the eye today and truly tell me that you really have fervently prayed about that. You've talked about it all around the edges and with other people, but have you talked to God about it? The half-brother of Jesus, James, says in the book that's designated to his name, James 4, says this: you do not have because you don't ask God. Very simple, isn't it? I ask God, but he still hasn't answered my prayers, Pastor Jeff. Well, perhaps he heard you, but perhaps his answer is simply delayed. He's not going to give you the answer right now. Perhaps God's timing's just not your timing. There is a reason he hasn't answered, and you can't see it now, but as you throw your boat hook out to God, let him pull you towards him instead of you trying to pull him into your timing. See, one's prayers may not get answered because they don't ask God. Sometimes people's prayers don't get answered because they don't ask in Jesus' name. Jesus himself said this. Listen to these verses. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's he saying? You can't even have communication with the holy God unless you come through Jesus. He's the one who came, died, was buried, and rose again to forgive your sins, to make you holy, so you can have communication. John 14:13 says this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Son may bring glory to the Father. John 15:16, the Father will give you whatever you ask, Jesus says. Notice what he says, help me out, in my name. When's the last time you prayed in Jesus' name? Now understand, using Jesus' name doesn't give you some magical power. It's not just some incantation you can say. Although, as the song says, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus. But when we pray in Jesus' name, it's got to be more than just a tagline that sounds good at the end of our prayer. Maybe you've perhaps noticed as your pastor, you'll hear me say it a lot of times at the end of a prayer, and we ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. I want you to understand why I say that. Some people say, well, it's just habit. You just throw those. It just sounds good. Well, no, it's theology. The reason I say that is because I have this understanding from Scripture that says this: God, I'm acknowledging that there's no way I have a right to come into your presence if it weren't for the high priest Jesus. I know and I believe that when he said he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one comes to you except through him, I'm acknowledging that when I pray in Jesus' name. See, when somebody adds that, that's not just a tagline. That's just not a cross your fingers and hope that'll help, right? It's theology. I have an understanding that I'm not even allowed to come into God's presence if it wasn't for Jesus. And to pray in Jesus' name is to pray in line with his character and with his desires. When you pray in Jesus' name, it means that we too come not in our own name. It's not in the power of Jeff Boyer. It's not in Jeff Boyer's strength, but it's in faith, believing that I have a spirit of dependence upon Jesus as my Savior, that I truly believe he is the way, he is the truth, he is my life. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we just don't pray in his name. We don't use the right connection. Some people's prayers go unanswered because the request is inappropriate. Again, the half-brother of Jesus, James, says this, you do not have because you don't ask. That was the first one we mentioned. Notice what he says, but when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You don't receive because you don't ask. Maybe God's not answering your prayers because your motives are wrong. The things you're asking for are inappropriate. You're like, well, how do I know the difference? Well, let me give you like four questions you can think about. Does the things that you're asking, does your request line up with God's character? Let me say it a different way. Who is God? When you think of God, who is he? What's his character about? And then ask, does my request breach his character in any way? Secondly, does my request line up to what I already know about God's word? I've had people literally want to pray about stuff, and they ask me, Pastor, would you pray about that? I said, no, I won't. They're like, you're like, you really won't? I said, no, because what you're asking, I know he won't answer because it's going against the word of God. You're asking me if God's going to bless that you move in and live with your girlfriend and have sex outside of marriage. I'm not going to pray that God will let that happen because that's not according to his word. Does your request bring glory to God? In other words, does my request, is it just all about me and my name and my fame, or does he get any glory out of this? Because it all ought to be his. And then lastly, does my request help make me more mature in Jesus? Does it grow me into more likeness of Christ? Those are some questions you might ask when you ask, is this request appropriate to pray or not? Another reason our prayers might go unanswered is because we have unresolved conflict with another person. I think a lot of times people's prayers are stymied if they remain engaged in an ongoing conflict with another person. And that could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a family member, it could be a spouse, it could be somebody else. But how do you effectively have an effective prayer if you have no desire to live at peace with other people, you have no desire to go to them and make that which is wrong right again, and you continue the unresolved conflict? As a matter of fact, Jesus mentions this in the Gospel of Matthew. Notice what he says. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Here's what he's saying. Stop your worship. I don't want to hear your song anymore. Quit praying. What's he say? First, go. Get up and go to them and be reconciled to your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. Then come back and pray. See, Jesus takes relationships, community, very, very important to him. He goes on, and in 1 Peter, we find this text. This is interesting. How many dads in the house, or husbands? Let me say, not dads. How many husbands in the house? Raise your hand. If you're a husband right now, raise your hand. High. Hold them high, guys. If they're not holding them, ladies, just hit them if you're there with them. Okay, ladies, you get a break for just a second, all right? Watch. If you're a husband, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Treat her with honor because she isn't as strong as you are and she shares with you this gift of life. Notice what it says. Then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. Guys, sometimes we're the biggest hindrance to our own prayers, according to the Bible, by the way we treat our spouse. God says, Jeff, you want to know why I'm not honoring you right now? You know why I'm not answering your prayers? Because I've been seeing how you've been treating Jody lately. I've been noticing how you haven't been honoring her. I've noticed how you've been pretty negative. You're always finding faults instead of letting love win over, covering over, protecting, caring for. Fellas, there may be a reason your prayers aren't being answered because it's how you're treating your spouse. You've put up your own roadblock. But he says, when you honor your wife, when you guard her dignity, nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. I think in our culture, we could also flip that, ladies. We could make this an all skate moment, if we will. Like, you just don't get a free pass. I mean, depending on how you treat your husband, too, is important. But if your prayers aren't being answered, could it be that you have unresolved conflict that you need to deal with today? And it may be somebody whom with you live right now. You say, well, that's what I've been praying about. See, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but that's what I've been praying about. I'm asking God to give me peace. I'm asking him to help give forgiveness in that particular relationship. Well, that's good. I hear what you're saying. Now I got another thing to say to you. Stop praying and go do it. How long are you going to keep praying that God would bring peace and forgiveness if you're not willing to go and be reconciled? This is not rocket science. Yeah, pray, God, help my heart to be right. Help the person who I'm going to speak to be able to receive me, then get up and go. But don't sit there and pray forever. There is a point where you have to act. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your worship. Come back and praise God, give him glory for what he did. Amen? One's prayer may go unanswered sometimes because they have unconfessed sin in their life. Unconfessed sin cuts off communication with God. If you're tolerating sin in your life today, I don't know how else to say this, I'll just say it strongly. Don't waste your breath praying unless your first prayer is a prayer of confession and repentance. It's like taking a garden hose and the water's going and you take it, you bend it, and you put a kink in it. That's what sin does to our prayer life. It shuts off all communication. And the only way that communication can be reopened is when you pray a prayer of confession and repentance, and it opens the flow back up again. It's saying, God, I know that I've been cherishing the sin in my heart and I've been wrong for that. God, would you forgive me? And I'm gonna change that with your help right now. I'm not gonna continue in that sin. The question is, will you do that? And if you don't like the fact that what I just said, well, then you got to take it up with the Word of God, because listen to what Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It's right out of Scripture. The psalmist says it like this: if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened when he prayed. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who's not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. See, the psalmist understood, but because I confessed it, because I admitted to God, and I'm no longer going to cherish that sin any longer, he heard my prayer. 1 John chapter 3 says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive anything we ask from him, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. If our hearts don't condemn us, if we're not cherishing sin in our hearts, we can ask and we can receive. And then right out of that verse, I think ties right into the last point. You're not going to find this in your notes. I added it the last minute. Sometimes one's prayers go unanswered because they're not living in obedience to God's word. You're not living in obedience to God's word. See, there's two things about God's word. You got to know it. You got to know what it says, right? Got to have that knowledge. But then you just can't know it. You got to live it. You got to put it into practice. So it's not only knowing God's word, it's living God's word. Have you filled your heart and your mind with God's word? Read the Bible that its life-giving words may fill your thoughts. Let your mind be transformed by the word of God. Learn its truths, its principles, its command, and then, listen, obey them. And then as Jesus instructs us, learn to please him. Here's what Jesus said. The one who sent me, in other words, the Father who sent me, stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. He sees how much joy I take in pleasing him. Is that true of you today? If the Father looked down on your life, would he say, I see how much joy Jeff takes in pleasing me rather than trying to please himself? Have you been praying of late, and do you feel that it's been of no avail? I want to wrap it up, and I want to give you three questions to ponder as the band's going to close us out here in a second. The first thing you do before you leave is just check within yourself. Are there any hindrances that you need to address today that are interfering with your prayers to your Heavenly Father? Do you know that God is listening, desires to answer your prayers when you pray according to his will? And lastly, today, knowing that God hears you and he'll answer you according to his will you trust him? Do you trust him enough to come before him with confidence? with unrestrained speech and say, God, here's what's going on. Would you do that? But if you have any hindrances and you've created them, would you address those today? Maybe he's not answering because you just haven't asked. Maybe you're not asking in his name. You're coming in your own ability and strength, and you need to come in Jesus' name. Maybe for you, it's more about your request just hasn't been appropriate. It's been more about what God can do for you and your name and your fame rather than his. Maybe it's because you have unresolved conflict, unconfessed sin. And maybe it's just you haven't been living obedient to that which you already know, and God says that needs to change. Would you address that today? Would you come before him? Would you run to the Father and say, Father, I trust you today. Here's my heart. Pray with me. God, right now in this moment, I pray that before we leave this room, some of us probably need to work out the kink in the communication between the Almighty. Jesus, we need you to intercede for us, but we need to confess through you that maybe there is sin, maybe there is unresolved conflict. Maybe as I look back, I've been trying to pull you, God, into my will rather than you pulling me toward yours. God, help me to understand what the Bible's saying, but then to put it in practice today, even in my prayer life. And God, I pray that as that man or that woman confesses sin today, maybe they go and they leave this place and are reconciled to a brother or sister, that you give them the words to share from their heart of humility and compassion and mercy and grace, that they'll do everything in their power to make that relationship right, Lord, then knowing, Lord, though, that their prayers will be heard. And so, Father, help us to run to you today. Help us to run to our Father and to trust you. We ask all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ who makes it all possible. And God's church said, amen. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing this song as our final before we go this morning. Run to the Father.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father. heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again.
This week again and again and again and again, and fall into His grace. It's there for you. It's there for me this week. Go with God. He'll definitely go with you as you seek Him. We'll see you next Sunday. Ushers, if you'll come and dismiss. Online, thanks for being with us this morning. We'll see you next Sunday.